DJ, hit me!
We got Kenny Florian, but not right now. Kenny Florian, who puts the tough in Armenian. He's got a small body and a head that you could fit two of ours in. He's got really thick hair and a wrinkly face, but he's really, really brave. He fought 185 and 170 and 155 and 45. He's Kenny Florian, but he's not here. He's running late. Kenny Florian puts a tough in Armenian. He's Kenny Florian. The Turks, by the way, for not admitting what they did in 1915 to the Armenians.
Whoa, whoa.
I said it.
Wow.
Yeah, I threw in a little history.
No,
it's about time
you
Turks
went for
came
a curveball.
It's about time the Turks came clean on what they did to the Armenians.
Whoa,
in
whoa.
1915, the genocide.
I need you to tone it down. Fighter and the kid.
Armenians are tough people. Let me tell you something. You don't know anything about history. Let me explain something.
Let me tell you something. You're taking this down a weird road.
Yeah, I am. I want to say something about the Armenians. They are a small country surrounded. They've traditionally always been surrounded by, they were basically a Christian country, they're surrounded by Muslim countries, and they were always overrun, always basically beaten up on. They are tough people. They stick together. And if you ever want to have a good time, you hang with Armenians. If somebody's last name is IAN, listen.
No, can I just do the song?
Hang out.
No, let me do the song.
I like Armenians.
Kenny's from Peru.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yes.
He's from Peru. He's from the Armenian part of Peru, bro.
Well, let me help you out.
I guarantee he's part of the diaspora.
I was wondering where the hell you were going with all this.
I say up with Armenia.
Well, anyways, Armenia. Fighter and the kid, we've been gone for a little bit,
Doing
right?
A little bit.
We had a little bit of Thanksgiving break.
Well, I went deer hunting, got myself a couple deer. One I had in my sights.
You went. Where'd you go, first of all?
Well, we went to Wisconsin.
What do you mean we?
Well, me and Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan, best buddies.
For a TV show called Meat Eater. And this guy, what people don't realize is that there are more white-tailed deer today than there were
in 1400. No, you tried telling me this. So Brian tells me he's going hunting, which I don't get down with. I don't shoot guns. I don't need to kill to act like a man. I don't need to do that. So Brian sends me a text going, just shot a deer, man. Just killed this thing. You're so badass. I put, oh, really? You hung out in the woods with an automatic rifle while this innocent little deer fawn rolls by. I think he's eating grass and you blow his head off.
Well, you must
really feel like a man. Congrats.
Well, here's the real story, and this is what I do feel about. First of all, let me say to anybody who has problems with deer hunting, this is a true story. The white-tailed deer, because of agriculture, they live off the corn, so they're so plentiful that on this farm and in Wisconsin they have a 9-day hunting season you can use a rifle
because
they're so plentiful. They're just too many.
I know. Deers are just such a problem.
There's one.
There's one in the studio.
That's DJ. He looks like a deer.
He looks like a little baby deer.
Like a husky Filipino deer.
Anyways, back to this bullshit theory on deer overtaking Wisconsin, or wherever the hell you are.
I'm gonna make an admission. This is, and any deer is allowed. You're allowed to shoot. You have to shoot an equal number of doe and bucks because you want to create a population control. So I get this deer in my sights, way in my sights in my binocular, and I shoot it. And I get up to it, and I realize it's really not a very old deer.
It was a baby deer?
Well, kind of. Not really. It wasn't a baby deer, but it was a young deer. Very tasty. Very tasty.
You ate him?
I felt very guilty.
Did you eat him on the spot or what?
We ate the out of that deer. The whole hunting party ate the
What'd you do with the head?
We cooked it. We don't waste a god dang thing.
You cooked you ate a baby deer's face off?
Yeah, we did. We ate
You're
the jowls.
You're a cannibal Lecter,
we
man.
Ate the jowls, dude.
The jowls?
Yeah, deer head's real.
You're psycho. You know what? If you and Rogan were real men, you'd kill the thing with your bare hands.
Hi. Come on in. Oh, sorry. We had
girls walked by and Brian lost focus.
They were like,
if you and Rogan were real men, you would hunt like old school and would kill things with your bare hands or just a bow and arrow.
Well,
not some GPS that shows you where the deer is at,
bro,
and tells you where
I didn't
to
use
shoot.
GPS, man.
And then you're in this full camo gear so nothing can see you as this little baby deer walks by.
Well, deer, you know, I consider them forest cows.
Forest cows, and they're delicious.
Yeah.
I've never had deer.
Oh, dude, I have 100 pounds of meat in my freezer. We'll be eating it. You need it for your next fight.
You're gonna barbecue it?
It will increase your virility.
I'll try it. Isn't it real gamey? I hate when people say this. Isn't it real gamey?
So
what the hell is gamey? It tastes gamey.
If by gamey you mean way more tender than any steak that's ever been out.
You're going to grill me a deer steak?
Yeah, you're going to lose your mind. You're gonna lose your mind.
I'm going to start killing deer with my bare hands.
I don't kill deer because I like it. I don't like killing deer. I have nothing against deer. I just love the meat.
So then for Thanksgiving, instead of turkey, did you have deer?
Not only that, here's what I have an admission. I only kill anything. The only thing I'm going to kill is something I eat, which is going to be a deer or an elk. I'm not killing. I'm not killing a bear. Okay. I'm not killing a mountain lion.
Easy,
I'm not killing
easy,
a wolf.
Geronimo. Yeah. Easy.
I am Native American.
I've seen you waste food nonstop.
My heart is Native American.
I've seen you waste food nonstop.
I just order and go, I don't want it.
Yeah.
No, but I was offered some beaver meat.
Who the in the hell was like, hey, look at that beaver? Someone's like, kill him. Let's eat his tail.
No,
you ate his tail.
The guy who runs the hunting thing
shot a beaver.
Yeah, and then we ate it, and it was the best meat I've ever had
wasn't.
In my life.
No, it
and
wasn't.
I feel really
Don't
guilty
do this.
About eating.
Now people are going to go out and killing beavers.
I ate
man.
Canada's national animal. I want to apologize to Canada for eating your national animal.
Would you so
I like beavers? Would I would never kill a beaver.
You shot him.
Well, I didn't.
The guy,
the tour
guy did?
Yeah, he's a hunter and he loves deer meat because apparently the Native Americans ate a lot of beaver. I mean, and I was like, I'm not eating that. There's no way. And I tasted it. It's the best meat I've ever had.
No way.
It's the best meat
Super
I've ever
gamey.
Had.
Super
gamey? No, it's the best meat I've ever had. It's the most
There's
tender
not much
meat.
Meat on a little beaver.
Well, it's 60
There's a lot
pounds.
Of fat.
It was a 60 pound beaver.
It's a big ass beaver.
And you couldn't eat a whole beaver. It's more meat than a turkey.
No.
Yeah.
What'd you guys do with it? With the body? How's this work?
Skinned it. He skinned it, quartered it, and we ate it. We put it in a crock pot with potatoes and carrots and roasted it.
Like Elmer Fudd.
Yeah, and it was delicious.
What'd you guys do with the poor little beaver's tail? Those are sweet.
Well, he believes in cooking it. I'm not eating a beaver's tail because it's all fat and bone. But I just don't want to kill a beaver. I just like
I know, man.
They
kill a beaver.
They chew trees up.
What's wrong with the deer?
Yeah.
How about you focus on the deer?
The problem with hunters is
he's like, oh,
like,
cool, look at that beaver. Bam, blows
yeah.
head off.
Yeah.
Psychos.
The main thing to keep in mind is not about hunting. Hunting's not the enemy. Hunting, it's about preserving habitat for animals. And the
That's what they tell you.
Hunting revenue is what preserves the habitat for animals.
That's all crap. There's no deer overpopulated area in the United States. There's no huge, oh my God, we got to take out these moose.
They're everywhere. They're everywhere.
We got to kill these moose.
Kill the moose.
These baby seals are out of control. They are polluting the area all over. You know what? Let's club these baby seals.
I don't like swimming near baby seals. I find them gross.
I find them gross, so I kill them. I club them over there.
You're not, you know, for a tough guy who fights in a cage, you are a city boy through and through. I mean, you're always so clean.
I don't like camping.
Dude, you're polished.
Oh. Always, man.
You need your coffee
Always.
Nearby.
Coffee.
Oh, your clean
a
car.
A good meal. Clean yeah. car has to be clean.
You know what, though?
I like fancy stuff.
I'm the same way.
And guess what? I went and shot guns. I dated this girl who her dad was like big into guns, this big rough guy. I was trying to act rough, right? I'm like, yeah, hell yeah, let's shoot some guns. Never shot guns in my life. They take me to the shooting range, and I was like, all right. He gives me a Desert Eagle, my very first gun to shoot. A Desert Eagle.
Too big.
Nah, I shot it, right? I shot it. It was kind of loud, powerful. I was done. I was like, really? This is what you do, huh? And he was like, yeah, look at all these guns. I was like, that's cool. That's cool. It was literally one of the boringest opportunities of my life. I will never be back at a gun range.
I emptied an automatic a machine gun's clip. I emptied it. I shot it at a target.
Congrats.
I know. You know how long it takes to empty an M16?
20 seconds.
3 seconds.
3 seconds.
3 seconds. If you hold the trigger,
I do
down,
not care. I don't care about guns, not in the least. Like, our buddy Cody Donovan is obsessed with guns.
He's got like 1,000 guns.
Yeah. It's the reason he goes, I can't move to California because all my guns.
Well,
you're a
Cody.
Psycho.
Yeah.
How about you get rid of your guns, move to California?
The apocalypse is not coming yet, Cody.
Yeah, it's weird, man. Let me tell you something about Thanksgiving. I have a couple pet peeves Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah.
One, if you're my friend, do not text me on holidays. Do not send me a text on holidays.
Can't stand it.
Cannot stand it.
You mean happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Turkey Day, smiley face. But they send it to like 30 people.
It's the worst.
I don't respond back. And then in LA, I get back to LA, right, on Saturday.
Yeah.
People are like, geez, bro, I never heard from you. You're damn right you didn't hear from me. It's insulting.
Hey.
If you're my friend, do not text me on holidays. Except for my birthday. If you don't text me on my birthday, it hurts my feelings. I'll tell you that right now. Text me on my birthday because I know it's not a mass text. But
That's
if it's
so funny.
Thanksgiving, St. Patrick's Day, Labor Day, Christmas.
Listen.
Do not text me. I realize it's a happy time, but do not send a mass text to me.
I don't even say
I literally will not be your friend.
I don't even respond to individual ones. Happy Thanksgiving, bro. Getting a text back.
No.
Not getting a text back.
I got an idea. Instead of texting, how about you focus on your family instead of texting me?
Yeah.
Why are you thinking about me on Thanksgiving? It's weird.
I'm not eating
You freak
turkey.
Me out.
I'm not eating turkey. I'm having a duck with some peas just to be different.
My Thanksgiving was nice. Went back home. I was with the whole fam.
Yeah.
With my stepmom cooked a big dinner.
Yeah, it's a great story so far.
Yeah, well, listen, this is the thing about Thanksgiving, man. Everyone feels like they have to compliment something that someone made, right? Like you go around like, oh, this turkey is
so
amazing.
So annoying.
Literally, it drives me, get ready to bleep this, DJ. It drives me nuts. Literally, as soon as we sit down, I'm dreading. I'm like, oh my God, everyone's going to comment on something. And I'm looking, I'm like, what am I going to comment on? I got nothing to comment on. Everyone in the room goes around, oh, Deborah, these peas are magnificent. These carrots are fantastic.
So
and I hate when people take a bite and go, I've never had anything that good in my life, first
besides
of all.
Besides a girl.
Everyone goes around, oh, the cranberry sauce is to die for. Literally, it goes around, it gets to me, I got nothing. Everyone used everything on the table. I just go, it sure is nice being back home. Just up the whole vibe
crappy,
of the table.
Generic.
Horrible. I had nothing.
I like to go,
I don't say anything.
No, I do a neutral sound. You don't know what it means. I go,
It's kind of tough to tell.
Yeah.
I don't say anything. I kind of just, after it's done, I'll say, man, that was really good. That's all you need. We don't need to hear every single, they label everything.
After I'm done, I always go, I came.
You know what, man? This is the other thing. On holidays, especially when I go back to Denver, because I'm an LA kid now. All my friends are here. You know, I have family and friends back in Denver, but my core group's here now, man.
Yeah.
So when I go back home, listen, I'm the only single guy. Everyone else is married, kids. My brother has a serious girlfriend, Ianthi, in Denver. They've been together for 30-something years. I'm making that up. They've been together for like 7. Anyways, obviously my dad's married. Everyone's. So when the dinner's over, everyone scatters like freaking, you know, they got
leaving Big Brown alone.
Well, here's Big Brown all by himself in Denver.
Picking at his turkey.
Bored. Super bored. So you know what? I got smart this year. I was like, you know what? I bought everyone movie tickets. They're like, huh? I'm like, yeah, I got everyone movie tickets for tonight. I went on early on Fandango, bought everyone movie tickets, so I had no choice but to go with me. Let me tell you something about seeing the movie Delivery Man with Vince Vaughn. Single-handedly ruined my family's Thanksgiving. The worst movie I've ever seen
really?
In my life. Oh my God. It was so bad. My dad was not happy with me. We got out of there. He looked at me and goes, I'll see you tomorrow. So literally was like, I was like, damn.
You really could have been conversation near the fireplace.
Could have been
you
anything.
Bring in the delivery man.
I'm telling you, people.
I like Vince Vaughn too.
He's not a leading role though. He's not a leading role. Name a movie he was a leading. He always needs a co-star with him. That's what me and my brother were talking about.
Yeah, it's interesting.
He's not a leading man.
Yeah.
The worst movie I've ever seen. Hands down, never seen anything worse. Up my Thanksgiving.
Really?
Hey, Vince Vaughn, you owe me $88 that I paid for everyone to go to the movies.
$88.
How about that, Vince Vaughn? How about I'm going to take a warm hand to your face unless you give me $88. I swear, if I see you in LA, I'm going to slap you for the delivery man.
Vince, if you're listening, and I'm sure you're a huge fan of The Fighter and the Kid, you got to give Brendan Schaub his $88 back.
$88. I think
Vince is cool enough to understand that, you know, sometimes it's hit or miss with me.
I realize you got to pay the bills. They bring you this bull movie role. You need to do something. You're the leading man. I get it.
Yeah.
How about you don't release on Thanksgiving when I take my family to it? Vince, you owe me $88. I will collect it. The juice is running.
You're a big kid. You could actually bully it out of him. Because Vince will throw down.
Hey, Vince, how about if you don't pay me my $88, I'm going to hold you down and pee on you in front of everyone in LA? About that?
Hey, easy.
How about I'm going to do it off San Vicente?
Sir, that's illegal.
How about I'm going to do it off San Vicente
in
Santa Monica?
Showers. No golden showers, sir.
How about I'm going to R. Kelly you if I don't get my $88?
Sir, please don't R. Kelly the new movie star. Sir, you can't R. Kelly the movie. I'm just in the corner going,
you know.
Sir, you can't R. Kelly the movie star.
As you're filming on your phone going, world star, world star.
You're just pissing.
Just pissing on Vince Vaughn. For my family, though. You gotta save the family.
That's why you're
man.
Doing it. I like Vince Vaughn too much. I might have to tie you off real quick.
Nah.
I might have to throw a string around that little nub of yours.
And just direct it a different way.
Yeah, he's Big Brown. He's got a child's head and a child's penis. A child's head and a child's penis.
Vince Vaughn, you owe me $88. I'm going to piss on you like R. Kelly.
I'm going to R. Kelly you.
I'm going to R. Kelly you, Vince Vaughn. $88, R. Kelly, and I'm going to give you to the first.
By the way,
January 1st.
By the way,
how about that?
I didn't follow this plan, but didn't he skate on that? Didn't nothing happen to him as a result of peeing on a 14-year-old?
Was she 14 years old?
I hope not.
I think it was consent. I actually saw the video, okay? I saw the video that...
Oh, it was consent. And so she had to have been 18 then.
Well, I think what his thing is, he has sex with these girls, and his fetish is he likes to pee on girls.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. If I had a daughter, and I saw a video of her sleeping with a man, and then getting pissed on...
I'm going to buy my deer rifle. I'm getting my deer rifle.
No, first of all, I'm going to take the last name Schaub away from you. You're never using that again. And just don't talk to the family. Act like we never met. If I catch you on video getting pissed on, just do never talk
you're
to me again.
Excommunicating her.
Never again.
Yeah.
Don't say, oh, Brendan Schaub's my dad. Nope.
Yeah,
I don't recall it ever.
The peeing on is interesting. I guess
why do you think that is?
It's a territorial thing. I think some women, I dated a girl once.
No way, bro. Because you're already in a way, if you watch the R. Kelly videos, which I've seen once or twice, whatever. Yeah. My brother showed me.
Yeah, maybe I've
World
seen
Star.
It like 100 times or something, whatever.
Maybe
I'm into it. But anyway.
Anyways, you're kind of already dominating the girl. If you see the videos, he's like, you know, he's doing work on him. He's on top of him, going to town.
Yeah.
You don't have to piss on him. Is it a degrading thing?
I think it's a combination of mutual. Some women, I knew a girl.
It's called a golden shower, by the way.
I knew a girl who wanted me to do that to her.
Did you do it?
I didn't.
Yes, you did.
I really didn't. I was like,
Did you even think? I don't think I could.
What happened was I kind of changed the subject because I didn't want to be looking. I didn't want her to think that I was a.
Like your assistant.
Like So I actually was
I'll tell you
about the fact that I didn't want to pee, and I was like, I'll do it.
I'll do it.
I'm busy right now, but I gotta get my car washed, but sometime if you're not around, I will.
I'll tell you right now, I drink a lot of fluids, I drink a lot of veggie juice, a little bit of asparagus.
Yeah.
You ask me to pee on you, it's coming with some heat. It is coming at you.
Jesus.
Like a hose. Like a hose. I'm gonna knock out your eye. I piss on you, I'm gonna knock out your eye. You don't want this. I'll tell you, don't ask me to pee on you.
My eye burns with that hot, jet hot UFC stream.
Yeah.
I'm a heavyweight pisser.
Heavyweight pisser.
You're dealing with a heavyweight.
No, yeah, don't. I don't. We might want to change the subject. Yes. Listen, don't pee on people. Let me tell you, don't piss on people.
By the way, yeah, we've covered deer hunting and peeing.
And Thanksgiving. Way to ruin your Thanksgiving. Christmas. Big Christmas guy with the fam or what?
One time on Christmas. Christmas has always been very tenuous in my family. One time.
Now you're full-blood Jewish. Is that correct? Or?
I am not.
Because your kids seem to think so.
My kids believe that they're Jewish.
And for whatever reason, you guys give them gifts all the way up to Christmas.
It's like Hanukkah in my family because my daughter's convinced that we're Jewish, which we're not. But
it's because you live in L.A. and all her friends are Jewish.
A lot of her friends, I think, are probably Jewish. I don't know what it is. They had a menorah, and they – and
You live in a very rich area.
Yeah.
A lot of Jews.
I don't know. I don't do a survey. I don't walk around with a survey going, are you a Jew?
No, I've been around your neighborhood. I've driven through, and there's freaking...
What, are people walking around with payas? And the Torah under
100%.
Their arm? Sir.
Well, I look Jewish, so they asked me to join that
I've
thing.
Had a lot of... I had an Israeli beauty queen text me, tweet me, and ask me if you were Jewish. And I said...
Because she wanted to get pissed off.
Wait a minute. I said, he's 100% Apache Jew. You are you're Native American and Jewish. You're clearly of Semitic origin.
He's 100% Jewish.
100%.
No.
You do hear that a lot.
I do. Well,
from people who are
only
Jewish.
Only in LA.
Yeah.
Because there's such a melting pot here. But back to your kids getting gifts up to Christmas. It's doing them a disservice.
Carry on. We observe the Jewish holidays, I suppose, inadvertently in my family. Now, my father, one time, we bought a Christmas tree. And my father, who's not very mechanical, decided he was going to try to put the tree up. And he couldn't get the tree in the stand, couldn't get it to stand up, to stay up.
This is a real tree or a fake one?
It's a real tree.
Those are a beast. I'll give your dad that.
It was a huge tree, too big for the
tree. Did you guys cut it or did you buy it?
Well, we bought it, but then we had to whittle it down to fit into the stand. And then we had to try to keep it up. Then we decided to try to, my father tried to tie ropes. Two pieces of the furniture. Finally,
this Charlie
it fell,
Brown
it,
Christmas.
Yeah,
tree?
He was yelling at us to stay out of the room because we kept offering advice. Stay out of the room. I got it. Stay out of the room. Finally, I'm not making the story up. The tree falls over after 4 hours of work. It falls back over. He tackles the tree, runs it outside, throws it. Throws it into the backyard. And then takes the stand and throws that over our fence and says we're not having a Christmas. My mother and my sister, I'm like laughing. I'm trying to incite the whole situation because he had been having a bad time at work. I found out later. And then my mother drags the tree back in with my sister, and they ended up putting it up.
Put it up?
Yeah.
It's so like a slap in your pop's face.
And I think...
Hey, Dad, way to go. We're going to drive back in and do it right.
I think he checked into a hotel that night.
Damn.
And sat Christmas Eve out. He was so angry.
Wow.
Yeah, he was having a hard time.
Last Christmas, like I told you, my family, they all have their loved ones. They all scatter. I met my Jewish friend at a Chinese restaurant and then watched a romantic comedy with him at his house.
That's adorable.
Okay?
Is that true?
That's very true.
That's great.
Because we do Christmas in the morning, man.
You do?
Yeah, I do, because my parents are divorced. I do Christmas morning with my pops. Then I go over later in the afternoon with my mom, and that's kind of like free for all. Everyone has their loved ones, then... I kind of just text every single Jewish friend I have. Hey, bro, what are you doing, man? Nothing. Cool. I'll be over.
I don't.
And then we go find Chinese food. It was the worst Chinese food I've ever had in my life.
The problem with Christmas stuff, everything stops, and now I got to go.
It drives me nuts.
Yeah. I want to stay here.
I want to stay here. I want to stay in L.A.
Yeah.
We had
a good time last night.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, it's always fun.
Oh, I know what I'm going to tell you. How about when I was in Denver, Dove Davidoff was there. It was at Comedy Works, our good buddy.
Yeah. If you ever see Dove Davidoff come to your town, you go see him.
You go see him. He's freaking hilarious. So I find out he's in Denver. All my Denver crew, I bring to Comedy Works to watch him, right? And he's doing this whole, right, everyone knows I'm single. I'm doing this whole, he's doing this whole bit on monogamy and being single. And he's all, hey, where's Brendan? There's tons of people. Their place is sold out. He singles me out in front of family and friends. Goes, hey, where's Brendan Schaub in the crowd? And I'm like, no way. He's like, where's Brendan Schaub? Put your hand up. And I kind of raise it like half-assed, like super embarrassed. Hey, don't you wish there was a pill to make you deal with monogamy? Am I right, huh? He's a real ladies man, huh? Literally just
great.
Killed the game.
Way to ruin my
Way
whole
game. Way to go. And then my family and friends look at me like, God.
You know, you're sitting there. You're a lion in the tall grass. And he's like, let's move this tall grass out of the way. Hey, dude, all you gazelles.
Yeah.
Here's a lion right here.
Yeah, dude.
Check out the lion.
Dude, super awkward. Oh, super God. Awkward.
Yeah.
He was hilarious, though.
Well, he's very funny.
He's great.
Look, can we talk a little bit about the fights, since this is supposed to be a little bit about fighting? Were you surprised by the Gray Maynard, Nate Diaz?
I was, because Diaz isn't known for his heavy power. He's not known to knock guys out. So yeah. Gray Maynard, I think he's been knocked out three in a row, or he's three knockouts in a row, man. So
four, but I'm not sure.
I don't. Is it four? I think three.
Yeah.
DJ hit us.
I didn't like seeing Gray get beat up like that, because I like him.
I don't like seeing anyone, especially, you know, he's one of the, you know, he's kind of one of the original guys,
yeah,
off the Ultimate
Warrior,
Fighter.
He's a warrior.
He's a fellow finalist like me. And
God, Nate is one of those guys. You look at him, if you saw him on the beach, you'd be like, that guy needs to start doing push-ups and working out.
For sure.
Meanwhile, he'll light your whole world up. He'll just.
I was surprised it was finished so early. I thought Gray was going to beat him in a decision, but okay. With the Diaz, they're just, you never know.
But you're a boxer. You spend a lot of time studying boxing.
Yeah.
I can't really see what Nate's doing, but Nate is clearly a much better boxer than Gray Maynard, because he trains like a boxer that I don't think Gray
does. He's a way better pure boxer than Gray Maynard.
Okay, so 100%. What does that mean?
Maynard's more power. Maynard's not a combination guy. Maynard's he's a big right hand. Big right yeah. hand to kind of the takedown.
That doesn't work.
He's not setting up with a jab or nothing.
Work with a
he's
guy
not
like
sending
Nate.
Shots
yeah.
up. Diaz, he's on it, man. He's setting things up with his jab. Everything starts with your jab. Everything starts with footwork and jab.
He knocked him out by feeling, touching.
Feel
him. When Gray went into punch, he caught him first with the right hand.
Well, Diaz does. His hands are out here. You know what I'm saying? So he gets his range down, kind of like John Jones does, and then he just starts going to work. But it's not a lot of power.
Right.
It's just they're not. They're
accurate.
Their pace and accuracy is crazy.
And that's
I was very surprised by it.
Yeah.
Very surprised by it. Little note from producer DJ. What's going on?
He's got three or four losses to KO and TKO.
Does it say his last opponents?
And he's got one win of last four to Clay Guida.
Dang. I don't think they'll cut him. It's too big of a name.
I think
You think they will?
They said that
they didn't cut my boy Cody Donovan or the Gazelle, and they've lost.
Personally, I if they cut Gray Maynard, for me, this is when I think fighters are getting to a point where I don't want Gray Maynard to hurt himself, because he's such a warrior. I don't want to see somebody like that keep fighting until they do damage to themselves, because you're not going to tell Gray Maynard not to fight anymore. He's just too tough. And he's got too big a heart. And this is when fighters.
He might have
hurt.
To change his style. He might have to start thinking about changing his style.
How hard is that to do?
Oh, damn near impossible.
Okay, then.
You got to be open to it.
Yeah, exactly. Good luck.
You'd have to leave wherever his camp is, Vegas, wherever. You'd have to go somewhere else.
I was watching, I watched the Tough Girls in this fight. And it was clear to me that I don't know. It's just interesting that I don't know what was going on with Misha's coaching staff and Ronda's coaching staff. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how much of it has to do with that or how much of it has to do with just one fighter, which is better than the other.
Yeah, carry on.
Good fighters.
So Misha's fighter won, correct?
Misha's
both of them won. So both Ronda's lost. You know that really done because they went back to the respective camps. You know that's not on Ronda and their
they
camp.
Came
a couple of them came back to Ronda and actually live with Ronda now. A couple of the girls live and went back to her camp. So
Ronda gets so emotional about her fighters.
Did those girls win? I gotta be honest. I didn't watch the Ultimate Fighter finale. I never watched the show. I just didn't follow it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna be honest with them. Okay. I saw Diaz Mannion. All right. I saw that. But.
Yeah. Well, I saw some really. I was very impressed with the skill of the women fighters in this round. I like their boxing.
You got to remember the girls fighting is in that new stage. Yeah. This in this new egg stage. So it's very to me it's very amateur still. It's very amateur still. The girls they have a ways to go, and then you got your freaking Jim Brown of the sport, Ronda Rousey, who's just leaps and bounds ahead of all these girls because she's you know from judo Olympic level, she's a ridiculous athlete and just
is a crazy competitor.
Yeah. But the other girls, they're just not there yet. So I think you're seeing very amateur style where it's this it's a scrap. Like these girls are going out there, they're scrapping. No one's really getting knocked out. You know, what I'm saying?
You respect Misha, I know a lot, but there's no doubt in your mind, Ronda's going to win this.
No doubt in my mind. There is no girl unless freaking unless we put a wig on Uriah Faber, there's no one in the UFC who's going to beat Ronda Rousey.
Wow.
Unless Uriah Faber throws on a wig and gets a sex change, Ronda Rousey's not losing. I hate to tell you.
Wow.
She's just that much better, man. Is Misha talented? Hell yeah. Is Misha attractive? Yes. Would it be good for the UFC if Misha won? Probably. She's very attractive, very good on camera.
It'd be a great rematch.
Let's be honest, on the Ultimate Fighter, she kind of came off better than Ronda. Just because of her coaching staff and whatever.
Yeah. Ronda was sort of the villain and Misha was the...
See, I don't watch it, but that's what everyone tells me.
That's what I saw.
Okay,
I mean, you know, that's how...
Listen, it's
TV.
They
edit it.
Ronda's literally one of the best people you've
ever met. I love Ronda.
Yes.
We're at this podcast, we are huge Ronda Rousey fans. Just as a person, she's awesome.
For sure. And Misha's great, too.
But sure. And I think when they edit these things, you know, they're making TV. You know, so
yes and no. I've been on the Ultimate Fighter. Listen, I've had guys like Matt Mitrione or these other guys, you know, I think maybe Chris Lieben said, I don't remember, who are like, God, it's the way they edit the show. Let me tell you something about the Ultimate Fighter. I've been around. I've been a coach on it. I've been a guest coach. I was on the damn show. I was a finalist, so I know how the Ultimate Fighter works. If you are a tool and an when you go into the house, when they record the show and it gets replayed, you're going to be a tool and an there's nothing you can do about it.
Right.
If you're a bad person, that's going to show on TV. If you're funny, it's going to show on TV.
Right.
For me, when I was on the show, I was there 100% not to make any friends, all business.
Right.
All business, man. There's no other reason. Speaking of the Ultimate
Kenny
Fighter,
Florian is
the original.
Kenny Florian walks in.
Kenny Florian.
Fashion me late. Hollywood.
What's up,
it is.
What's up, man?
How you doing, pal? Good to see you, man.
Kenny Florian, a man who fought at 185, at 170, at 155, and 145, shies from no man at all, couldn't look like more of a civilian, although his head is bigger than
civilian.
Big Brown's. He's got a fantastic head of hair, and is ethnically Armenian, am I correct?
No.
You're not?
You're born in Peru, correct?
To Armenians, I tell them that.
Dude, I gave Armenians a huge shout out, and now I find out you're from Peru.
Well, no, it's possible. Both my parents are from Peru.
You were born in Boston,
mix
right?
Up everything, yeah.
Born in Boston.
Born in Boston.
Parents
are from Peru.
There you go.
Yeah,
he was singing some song saying you're Armenian.
You were.
It could be. Yeah. It's an Armenian IAN. You know.
Well, he calls me Indian Jewish. So,
well, you are. But you were a. I've been following you forever.
Thanks, man.
You're awesome. And I don't know anybody who doesn't like Kenny Florian. It's funny. And
I hate myself.
I know. Except for you.
Yeah.
You were a D1 soccer player.
I played at Boston College.
I didn't know that.
And then I started fighting, which is weird.
You started fighting after.
Yeah. I started training in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in college. And I was playing soccer, pret- pretending like I was injured.
I think you told me yesterday your first fight was until 28.
Yeah, I didn't fight until I was 28. Yeah, I started training. Nuts. I started training Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu at 20, and then I was like, let's try a fight, and then let's try it again, and then
Boom.
Yeah,
me, Kenny, and I. We did a show yesterday together. Can I talk about
amazing.
This?
It was amazing. It was so good.
So me and Kenny do this show called UFC Now, and. Listen, I'm not going to say any names. There's a host on there, and they're like, you know, we're going to try out. She usually does the Portuguese and English, and there's the three of us, and we're breaking down fights. It did not go well. It's an understatement.
She
pronounced my name wrong.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah, Kenny Florian.
Brandon Schaub here. Like, yeah. Damn, girl. Damn. Not even the right name. So it went
she
horrible.
She called you Brent Schaub at one point.
Not good. Yeah.
Not good. I'm going to interrupt you guys and say something. I just want to say this. Kenny, you're not my type, but you smell fantastic.
He does smell good,
that's
right?
A good call.
I got a big
brother.
Whiff of that myself.
I'm literally going, you know what? I thought I was straight this whole time.
Chael, before every show, he comes over and sniffs me. It's really weird.
What is that stuff? I want to wear that stuff. Was that your secret, you bastard? It's Armenian Peruvian.
It's nice.
That is my sweat. That's my muscle.
So Kenny and I were training the other day, and for whatever reason, we started talking about on the subject, and he won up me. So because I was talking about how when I fought Nogueira in Brazil, I think I got paid like 12 and 12 or 14 and 14. Yeah. But I lost. So I got paid 14,000, and then you get taxed in Brazil, I got taxed in the U.S.
Yeah.
So I was telling Kenny that, and he goes, I got one better for you. He goes, when you fought Sean Shirk.
For the title, yeah.
For the title. You got paid what? 11-11?
It was either 11-11 or 12-12.
God. Crazy, right?
You know,
that's the Ultimate Fighter contract. Because we were saying how Diaz, they showed him, he got paid 15-15.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I was surprised by that. But, then when I thought about it, I said, you know what? That can't be right. Because
he's getting bonuses.
Exactly. He's got bonuses and
headlining.
Now they're doing signing bonuses. So what you see on paper doesn't necessarily mean, like, so let's say, I don't know how his contract is, to be honest, but I'm assuming he must have got something up front.
How much would you have to get up front where they're giving you 15 and 15?
I know.
He has
believe me. It's weird.
Is he on his second contract?
There's
or no
way. There's no way.
He's still
Nate Diaz is paying that. He's getting paid that much.
No, it's
got to be way more.
No way.
Got to be.
You know how it works.
Yeah.
Our fighters. I hope fighters are getting paid more and more as time goes on.
Yeah. I think they are. And
I know
I think
this is
it's
a delicate territory for everybody.
It is. I think they are. Like, and in all fairness, you know, as much as that's what I made officially on, you know, against Sean Shirk.
I got bonus
more money than I've ever seen in my life at that time.
When you fought for the title.
Yeah. And that I've probably made in my whole life at that point.
For sure.
For a bonus. So, but, you know, going into it, I thought I was just going to make, you know, 12, and that's all I made because I lost. But
did you get it in the mail or did they give it to you in the back?
In the back. It was pretty cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've never got one in the back.
I was literally in the shower and Dana's like, hey, dude.
Yeah.
No way, really.
Yeah, and he definitely
I've had fights where I thought I was gonna get a crazy bonus and I didn't. And then I have fights where I'm like, there's no way I get a bonus. And then just in the mail, bam, you open it up.
That's a beautiful thing.
It's cool. Yeah.
It's cool.
Are you still training, Kenny?
I am, man. I've been having a battle with my back and it's been up and down. But actually Henner really helped. I trained with Henner Gracie, Brandon was there. And he showed me a really good back exercise. Scotty Epstein has helped me a lot.
Ball?
Yeah, on a ball. And it's really helped me. And I've just been, I think when I get lazy is when my back kind of gets out of
whack. Let's be honest, so why you're lazy. You have a girlfriend now. He's a serious girlfriend now.
Yeah,
but right? Kenny's locked down.
Yeah.
Hey, don't blow us
a
right.
little bit. But I love to train, man. I need it for my sanity, and I haven't been able to. And
what's
you
part of your lifestyle?
When you say
I do.
Yeah.
When you say train, what do you mean?
Whether it's hitting a bag or going to hitting pads with someone or training, whether it's MMA or jiu-jitsu, mainly jiu-jitsu. I've been really missing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu with the gi, and I haven't been able to do that for a long time. So when I, stopped training, stopped fighting, I should say, that's when I, you know, got back to training with the gi again, and I really missed it. But my back's been, you know, still up and down.
Did you find it difficult to make the transition from, I mean, fighting? You know, you went from such a high level as a fighter, and then everything stops, and then you have to figure out what to do.
Yeah, no, without a doubt, that was the hardest thing. Like for a year. First, as you know, in the back of my mind, I was like, well, you know, my back kind of is what stopped me from fighting.
That's why you retired originally?
And I was hoping to kind of improve, and I just took some time off and was hoping to kind of get back into it. It never really allowed me to. And then there's the other thing of I think you kind of become a robot and you get into the mold of you go in every day and it's beautiful because you have someone who tells you what to do every single day. It's almost like being institutionalized in prison. Yeah. I haven't experienced that, but you get used to this regimen. As sick as it is, you get used to it. And not having that intensity and that purpose every single day was really difficult for me.
Yeah.
Really, really tough.
But did you have an idea you were going to do commentating and kind of TV stuff
as
you were fighting? Or no?
I did, at the time, and I knew I had something going on, but I was... Man, it was not the same.
Not the same.
Yeah.
Not even close.
I'm fascinated with that. It's the biggest challenge for a lot of fighters. It's why you see time and again fighters who should have retired. You know, watching this Arturo Gatti thing, Gatti should have retired when he was done with that final trilogy with Mickey Ward. He just kept doing it.
Yes.
What else was he supposed to do? It's a really challenging thing for a fighter to kind of like, because you define yourself along those lines.
Without a doubt. That's exactly it.
Yeah, and now you're cast into the open waters in just a rowboat, and you got to figure a way to navigate where you're going, man.
Yeah. How do you go from like the highest high? Because for me, I'm sure Brandon would agree, there's nothing better than winning in the UFC. Like
nothing.
Winning in the octagon, it is the highest of highs.
Dude, there's nothing better than tapping somebody in a gym. I'd tell everybody, I'd be like, dude, I just put somebody in a triangle. For 2 weeks, I was like, guy was bigger than me. And I actually put him in it. You know, it's like, I can't imagine. I can't imagine being half naked in front, especially me. I'd be wearing a bandana.
There's nothing higher.
Are you kidding me, dude?
There's nothing higher but the lows.
Yeah,
There's no middle. There's no super high, and it's peaks and valleys, man. Nothing lower when you lose and nothing higher.
There's no doubt.
Kenny, what I think is really cool about you is that, you know, you see these guys in the ring like Brendan and these super athletes, shredded, and you go, well, you're an Olympic wrestler.
Right.
I'm sorry, my friend. You look like me. You are every man. You walk in and you look like, it's like, have you met my accountant? Meanwhile,
that's what Dana used to call
me. But you're so deceptive. You are way stronger, faster, and more skilled.
Super talented.
And that's where you never judge a book by its cover.
Thanks, man. You know, I got into this for that same reason. I saw skinny Hoist Gracie beating these monsters, and I was like, man, maybe I could do that. And that's why I got into it.
I mean, I think the only times you lost was you were just you were dealing with, like, you know, Sean Sherk is... He looks like somebody took a chimp and shaved all its hair.
Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean? It's about styles and matches.
And he was also a wrestler forever. I think Sean Sherk came out of the womb wrestling, and yet you gave these guys fights.
Thanks, man. Yeah, you know, I didn't have a lot of experience when I fought Sean Sherk, and I remember at the weigh-ins, I looking at him, and I'm like, he's way shorter than me. That I knew, but he didn't look big at all. Mm. And then on fight night, I looked at
Octagon.
Like, who the hell is that guy?
Yeah.
I was like, who is that? Yeah. It looked like he ate Sean Sherk. Yeah. And it just looked, he was twice as big and his muscles were all filled out. Sure. I was like, oh my God, this is going to be a long night.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Or a short night.
Yeah.
Or a real short one.
Yeah.
We were talking about it gaining experience because I was saying how my fighting style's changed a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm just now, 10 fights deep in the UFC, starting to feel a little comfortable.
Yeah.
Like in there, not in a rush, taking my time, using my tools, using my training. You said it took you almost towards the end of your career.
Yeah, it took me a while, man, to get that real comfort level. And again, I'm a big believer in, I don't believe in anything but repetitions. I think that's the best thing, you know. And the more time that you have doing something, obviously the better you're going to be at it. And it took me a while to kind of get that comfort level and find that happy medium of, you know, being, you know, too fired up, too relaxed, too... you know, too zoned in maybe on what your game plan is and then kind of relaxing off from that, just finding that happy medium. And again, I still, I had 17 fights, but I know I had so much more to learn and improve on and get better with that process. So it takes time, man. You know?
Your last fight was Aldo?
Aldo, right? Yeah.
What a nightmare that is to fight.
Yeah, was tough.
What's that? Talk about that guy, because I watch him and he's so devastating with his speed and his athleticism, and he was a soccer player.
Yes.
Yep. But I can't imagine getting kicked by that guy, and I can't imagine having to solve that riddle.
Dude, was the game, because it looked like it, we haven't talked about this. Yeah. You trained with Frost at TriStar, right?
I did, yeah.
With GSP, he's the head trainer at GSP.
Yeah.
You were trying to take him down, correct? That was the game plan?
Yeah, for the most part. It was mix it up. The whole key when you fight a guy like Aldo, anyone who is a very good leg kicker, you have to back him up. Otherwise,
you mean you got
to
dive? You got to dive into that double leg. Edgar did that really well.
Yeah, and even just pressuring him, backing him up, it's very hard to throw an effective leg kick backwards.
It's not
I knew I had to pressure him. That's the only thing that saved me because the weight cut just killed me. And both weight cuts, both weight cuts at 45 were just brutal.
What do you walk around at?
Man, I guess when I was fighting, 175, 177.
How about homeboy competed at 180 on the Ultimate Fighter, 185?
It's middleweight. Listen, that's why I've always had.
But that was just to get on the show.
Yeah, I mean, I was a chubby 182 at the probably like what I am now when I fought on the Ultimate Fighter. So I remember when I fought Chris Lieben, he was like, Kenny, I'm 205.
I can't believe you fought Chris Lieben. I can't believe you fought Chris Lieben. Dude, I've met Chris Lieben. Chris Lieben he walks around without exaggeration at 220.
Yeah.
And his fingers, he can't dial a cell phone. he couldn't hit just one number. That guy's got bananas for fingers.
His and DJ's head is about the same. Producer DJ and their head are about the same.
I didn't see the fight with Lieben. I can't believe you fought Lieben. How did that go? That's crazy.
I would try to take him down. I tried to strike with him, and I was just trying to get in and get out.
Three different weight classes.
Yeah, I tried to take him down, and it felt like I ran into a wall.
Yeah.
I had him in the second round up against the cage, and he was trying to take me down, and I threw just a short elbow. It was just like 2 inches away, and it split his eye. It was like 37 stitches over his eye, and just so much blood. It was a huge gash, and they stopped the fight, and I got lucky.
I have to pause on this because the fact that you were able to give a guy like Chris Lieben a fight is just challenges the laws of physics. It just does, bro. I know the guy. He's a giant.
Yeah, he's a big
dude. He is as thick as it gets. His face is so... And he's a heavyweight. I mean, he's 220.
I just trained with him a couple weeks ago. He's not a heavyweight.
No, he's a big boy.
Yeah.
He's got no neck. He's got that weird simian-like triangle.
But this is the thing.
Triangulation.
Kenny has so much more skill
when it comes down to it. That's why Kenny Florian is sitting in this room right now.
100%. Chris Lieben is not.
Yeah. Chris Lieben, no, I like Chris. But anyway, that's what's always been impressive to me. You kind of you defy your physicality.
Now, so you got done with the UFC, all this commentating stuff. You're doing all sorts of stuff for Fox. You even do play-by-play now, right?
Yeah, I'm leaving.
Call the fights. You're leaving.
I did Ultimate Fighter finale this weekend, and I'm leaving to Brisbane.
You live
tomorrow.
Full-time in LA.
Mm-hmm.
You're a little bit Hollywood now.
I know, man.
A little bit Hollywood.
I live in Hollywood now. It's crazy. I never would have thought that I would be saying that, but yeah, I'm from Boston. I always thought I'd be there for a while until like the last couple years when I was training. I was like, it is so cold here. What was I thinking?
I went to high school up there.
I don't have to be here.
How great is LA?
I love it. It's so spoiled. I went back for Thanksgiving and it was maybe like in the 30s or 40s and I was freezing.
I was
getting out of there.
It makes me sad.
I went to high school up in Massachusetts. Chipping the ice off your car. I mean, it was just.
Yeah, it's brutal.
You go out there with wet hair and just I was a wrestler, so you'd be sucking weight in the wintertime.
Oh my God. Brutal.
Freezing.
Yeah.
I'd double leg you right now. That was the point of that story.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man. What was your takeaway on what's your call on the Miesha Tate Ronda Rousey?
Man, it's tough. Ronda is at such an advantage based on everything she's done in her career in the martial arts game. You know, when you're talking about in mixed martial arts, yes, there's some very, very tough women out there. But the competition that she's used to is, you know, the best in the world, the best judokas in the world. And she's been doing that since she was a kid. So you get, you know, for her to just for you to be able to place in a regional, like a top tournament in judo is impressive. And then to be on the national team is like, wow. And then to represent the national team and then to go to the Olympics and then to get a medal in the Olympics.
It's crazy.
She's probably smiling every time she goes in the octagon. I mean,
she's a
1%er.
She's a 1%er.
There's very few people that can do that. Daniel Cormier is another one of these guys. Yeah. You know, you competing at a high level in football, it's a different level of athlete.
It's the mental edge you have.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Let me ask you this. Did you use a mental coach when you were fighting?
I did.
Always in your career or later?
No. After the BJ Penn fight, I did. Yeah, I had one that I would talk to.
What did you use him for, and what did he? What techniques did he teach you?
You know, it was basic stuff.
It's stuff you know, right?
It's stuff you already know.
It's almost like you don't need a hit. I mean,
yeah, it is, and it's the most basic thing, and it's stuff that you really already know, and it's just kind of getting certain mantras into your head and just thinking about things that the only thing you can control is your training, and worrying about anything else is a waste of time. And that's kind of the thing that would be repeated to me. And
what would you say to yourself before you went in this afternoon? Brian Callen's really funny guy.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah. What would do? I mean, I know that athletes have to learn how not to talk to themselves.
Yeah.
What not to listen to.
You don't want to overthink it. Yeah. That's the thing I've learned so far in the UFC is I used to worry about so much what the other guy was going to do. It does not. I can't control that anymore. It doesn't matter.
I don't think there is a place for, like, guys who think a lot in the UFC. You have to be, it's almost a mindless approach. You have to go in there and listen to your coach. I used to kind of coach myself. I used to be like fanatical about watching video and breaking down fighters and fights and things like that. And it's like, you know what? Man, leave that to the coaches. The coaches are there for a reason. Trust them. Allow them to do that for you. Just do what you're told.
Can you hear them when you're fighting?
I can, yes. I'll zone in on them and I can hear them. Yeah, especially so my brother. If you've ever heard my brother in my corner, I think everyone in the arena can hear him. Yeah,
so he's always in your corner.
You guys are always listening to your coaches. I didn't know that. I didn't know you could hear your coaches as well.
Yeah. Oh, sometimes you can. You know, it's not all the time, but for the most part, you
can hear it, though, very well.
Yeah, you can zone
just,
in on
you can,
it.
Yeah. Yeah, you can hear just their type of voice telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Which is always interesting to me because what I'm realizing in this fight sport, and we've talked about this before, is these – if you look at the 155 or 170 pound weight class, it's so stacked with talent that it feels like your coaching staff is what's going to make the difference. Strategy when you come in there. Everybody has a weakness. Everybody's got an Achilles heel.
I think strategy. I don't know if your coach, well, maybe your camp.
Yeah, I just mean your camp and what you work on, what you choose to work on, and what you come to the table with that the other person maybe
hasn't seen. It's whoever shows up. Because you got guys like Donald Cerrone, who sometimes, you know, Donald's a good buddy. Donald knows this, and he started working with a mental coach. Sometimes Donald shows up, and he could beat anyone in the world. Literally one of the best 55ers in the world. And then other times shows up, you're like, who is this guy, man? Mm. He just doesn't turn it on.
I think you're right. It definitely it's about all those factors. And I see a lot of guys super talented, and they just have the wrong approach in training. It's like, dude, you're already a great wrestler. What are you doing working on your wrestling? Or you're already a great wrestler, and you're doing it too much, or you're doing it too little. It's a balancing act, man.
Most get away from it, right? Like, if you have an Olympic wrestler, they usually just work on striking.
Right.
And that's it.
Yeah, and there's no integration.
Do what you're good at, man.
Wrestling for mixed martial arts and all those
different
things. Jiu-jitsu for mixed martial arts. I see guys go out there and just do the wrong things and have the wrong approach, and it's very easy to take the wrong path in MMA. You know, despite whatever level you're at, if you don't have good guidance, you're in trouble.
Correct me if I'm wrong. As a layman, when I watched the first Weidman Silva fight, there was no question in my mind that Anderson Silva was light years ahead of Chris Weidman, and I could have done anything he wanted to him, as he does to most guys, and then he got silly and totally disrespectful and got knocked on his ass, as he should have been.
Yeah, I mean,
in other words, what I'm saying is that if Anderson Silva shows up to fight in Weidman Silva 2, there's going to be, in my opinion, one winner in that, and that's Mr. Silva.
I agree with Brian on this.
You see, I say yes and no, because I think on a striking level, and no one touches Anderson Silva. In MMA, the style of MMA.
Can you explain what that is?
He's a computer, and he's the kind of guy, he has the style, and you see Anderson Silva usually takes a little bit to get going, and the reason for that is he's calculating. He moves, he's reading your movements, he's getting your rhythm, he's getting your timing, and then he just kills you. And once he finds that, once he computes,
distance.
It's like, unbelievable. The problem is that a style like Chris Weidman's will always give Anderson Silva trouble, and that's because of he's got heavy hands, and he's a great wrestler. And we saw what Chael did. And as far as mixed martial arts skill, and I love Chael, I work with him all the time, his level is not at Anderson Silva's, not even close.
Right.
But his style was such that he pressures, he'll wrestle you, and he's got good positioning. And he just did that again and again to Anderson Silva. And I don't care if it's about his rib. People are saying, his rib was this and that. The first round against Anderson Silva, he took him down and mounted him within minutes.
Yeah. And he also outstruck him.
Yeah, and outstruck him. So,
And then, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Then, now, that's what makes
then
him.
The spider
and that well, that's him, what makes him the best of
not
all time.
Not good, but great. Yes. That's what really makes him great. But a style like Chris Weidman's will always give him trouble. I'll actually be surprised surprised if Anderson Silva wins this one.
Really?
I will. As really? Great as Anderson Silva is, the greatest champion in UFC history, the most dynamic mixed martial artist.
Right?
But Weidman has that style. Styles make fights. Yeah. You know,
what else could be
saying
the
that cliche, but it does.
What else could be the difference is Weidman's grappling. Mm-hmm. People haven't seen a lot of his grappling.
He's a beast, man. I've seen him.
I've rolled with him.
Yeah.
He's at the Henzo Gracie Academy. He is a monster.
He's a monster.
He's a monster. Very high level.
Yeah.
Very high level grappling.
Very high level. And
I don't think Anderson can submit him.
I know.
Like Chael and
made that mistake.
Yes.
I don't see Weidman making that mistake.
Promise you won't do that.
But I do see Anderson Silva knocking him out. That is a definite possibility.
Do you think that Anderson is he feels also faster than most guys?
He's 38.
And I've heard
he's 38.
Yeah, he's 38. That's getting up there.
You're 46, though.
Yeah, but look at my skin.
Would you think he was 46?
He looks like a young kid. Yeah, yeah.
They call me the kid.
Yeah,
that's why he's called the fighter.
He called himself the kid.
Well, I make people on the set, if I'm doing every movie, I go, the camera guy is so awkward because they go, kid. I go, no, it's the kid. So they're like, the kid, can you just move into the light?
That's great. But it's going to be a tricky fight because Anderson, you know, everyone's saying that, you know, obviously he was clowning around and he has done that and he's gotten away with that in the past. But now, what is that going to do to him mentally? Because he uses that tactic to get guys out of their normal mode.
He does. And he did.
Is he going to do that again?
I'll tell you what.
Can he do that against Weidman?
You're dealing with a motivated Anderson Silva now.
Yeah.
Who has something to prove
to
him.
The way he was kicking his legs at will and then punching him like, it was just the craziest thing. And apparently, the inside track, from what I heard a couple of people, he was angry that people were actually giving, like GSP, and people were giving Weidman the edge in the fight. And he was just pissed off.
Yeah.
Speaking of champions, our boy, GSP,
mm-hmm.
What'd you think? Hendricks, GSP.
I watched the fight, and people were killing me on Twitter. Like, oh, that's your boy. That's your boyfriend, man. And I was like, all right, okay. Thank you. I'm going to go back to him. All right. But and I saw the fight, and I thought GSP won. I thought it was very close.
Comes down to the first round, I feel.
Yeah, it does. And I went back and watched the fight, and I'm even more confident that GSP won. It was super close. But listen, if Hendricks won that fight, there would be, you can't really argue that either. It was that close. But the statistics, thankfully, backed me up on what I said, because
100%.
It was 19-18 in significant strikes. I'm not a big statistics guy because I don't really, that's not the whole part of the fight. But yeah.
It raises a bigger question, though. Mm. And that is that when a guy looks like he's been through a tree shredder, and the other guy doesn't have a mark on his face,
that doesn't matter.
I know, because some guys bleed.
We've been
fast
over this. Yeah, some guys have scar tissue. He's been in bigger battles.
It's a bigger question. The Nevada Athletic Commission scores the fights on a boxing scale on 10-round fights, 10-point rounds.
Yeah.
A UFC, MMA is a different kind of style.
Yeah.
There has got to be a different way to score a fight. I don't know what pride rules are.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it would be good for business, but it feels like MMA needs a different scoring system. What that is, I don't know.
Yeah, there's certain things. I mean, it definitely doesn't need improvement, 100%.
In other words, because otherwise you can win a fight on jabs.
Yeah.
When we're talking about MMA, and I'm not so sure that that's what we want.
So if you come out for three rounds,
don't put your hand on my face. I slip. I hear bang. It's over the top. I don't like. You know, he's got a little.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry, he's still learning.
He gets all willy nilly. If you be feeling froggy, then leave, bro.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. If my next fight, let's say I fight Bigfoot Silva, I'm just throwing names out there, or Mark Hunt, who knows, maybe the winner from this weekend.
Yeah,
Bigfoot. So let's say I go out there and I jab the guy for three rounds and I use footwork and he doesn't take me down. Yeah. You're saying I don't win the fight?
The answer is you do whatever you have to with Bigfoot because I'm going to be cage side screaming.
No.
Like your girlfriend.
All right, not me. You make someone else. You know what I'm saying? You still win the fight. You just came with a good game plan.
Absolutely.
It's up to that guy who's getting jabbed in the face to do something about it.
That's very true.
A la Jake Ellenberger, Roy McDonald.
Let me follow that up with a question to both of you.
Mm.
Yes, you would win.
Know who you're talking to here before you address this. Don't know who you're talking to.
Check yourself, Doug.
Gentlemen who've been in.
Dealing with two Hollywood stars here.
Guys, Hollywood scarred up UFC veterans. God, there's so much testosterone in this room. I have such a boner. I have a girl boner. And I'm literally growing. tits right now as we speak, and my ass is perking. But here's the thing: isn't there room to judge based on damage, on who does the most damage?
Yeah, see, they used to do it. That was a term that they used for judging criteria, and they changed it because of that. Because here's the thing: Brendan and I fight. Yeah. I kick his ass the first round. I mean, he is bloodied up. He can't even see out of his eye. He looks like Rocky.
Right.
He comes back and he edges me out in the second. Mm. And he edges me out in the third. He wins the fight.
Yeah.
He wins the fight. And if it wasn't a 10-9, right? Yeah. So one argument that I didn't like the 0.5, the half point system until I saw the Johnny Hendricks and GSP fight. I said that might be a reason for it.
But
there's other things. There's other little descriptive words like they haven't defined the difference between a clean jab and a takedown. Well, what is the difference? What is more points? Mm. If I knock him down and he almost submits me, that's kind of the same thing, but they don't really see it that way.
What about takedown or takedown defense?
Right.
If I defend six of your takedowns, you land one, your one's more significant right now.
I wrote an article about this.
So it favors the wrestler.
Yeah.
I wrote an article about this for FoxSports.com, and I got more confused writing the article. You know, just looking at the judging criteria and trying to come up with a solution, it is a tricky, tricky thing. Because with any system, there's always going to be an issue. Because there's human eyes watching,
and
they're going to make mistakes. And like the pride system, the reason I don't like it,
because to judge a round,
and to judge a fight on totality is so difficult because of just the nature of our memories. We only remember the last, right? We're going to remember the last things more than what happened in the beginning of the round. So
that's true.
You know, and that's
momentum plays a role in it. Momentum. Yeah. Some, you know, guy gets his ass whooped the first round and starts coming back, maybe late.
The crowd yelling.
It doesn't mean he won the round.
Yeah,
he was getting his ass whooped for 4 minutes. There's a minute left. He reverses him, and there's this momentum now.
You know, boxing's that way. The Provodnikov-Bradley fight.
Mm. Triple G.
It was the craziest thing I'd ever seen. And Bradley, I'd never seen anybody. Bradley taking that kind of punishment. But I think Bradley ended up winning, even though he was literally getting, you know, almost
boxing.
But easy.
Now you're throwing a curveball because boxers are corrupt as hell.
No. But I'm talking about
boxing.
They just want the guy to win. What I'm saying is that, if the guy is winning the last round after a 5-round fight, that last round in many ways should count more than the first round.
No. Why? You're the same guy that goes, you got to beat the champ. You got to dominate the champ to beat him. Nah, man. If there's 5 rounds, I win 4, and I barely edge out 4 out of the 5 rounds, I win.
What I'm saying is that if it's a fight. It's a fight.
Exactly.
If I'm winning that fight,
all rounds are the same.
I'm winning at the end of the fight, that should count more than if I'm winning in the beginning of the fight.
I want to slap you right now. I literally want to slap you.
What happens when I use slit? Bang, bang. Keep my body loose. Bang. How dare you talk this way in front of Ken? Why does my liver hurt?
How dare he's a fellow coworker, man.
Guys,
this is Fox.
I want Kenny out of the room. I want him to leave.
Kenny, I need 10 minutes with him. I need you to leave.
In 30 minutes,
Carlton,
I want you the hell out of here.
DJ, I need 10 minutes with the man here.
Listen, this is probably the kind of conversation they have around the table when they're trying to come up with a scoring system.
Yeah.
He's got a point of view. I got a point of view.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think fighters should have the bigger.
Listen, say. I don't care what you do, but you got to do something. Would you agree, Kenny? You can't leave it.
You do. And the other thing I don't like is the influence of the crowd is huge. It doesn't matter. If you hear, like, you know, let's say I have a bad angle on the fight and I see a guy swing, and from here, you know, you could see that it didn't hit Brendan, but this guy behind me. And Brendan kind of goes to get out of the way, and the crowd goes, this judge is going to think that I landed that shot. So I think cutting off the sound, having monitors for all the judges for different angles, I think would help. You know, it's going to be 2014. You know, we should have a little bit more technology going.
Yeah, and we do. It's a question of, I don't know.
You got to do something.
And by the way, 3 judges. I don't know if that makes sense.
We can't have 2.
No, I'm thinking more.
Some people were even arguing like 8 judges to have every, because there's 3 judges on a 4-sided ring.
Imagine some people argue 15 judges.
Yeah, right. 11 judges would solve the problem.
100 judges, then the fans are going to call and vote in.
Exactly.
Well, then just the most popular guy
wins. Maybe the fans voting would
be like the voice.
No, you don't want fans voting.
No.
You don't want fans voting.
No.
Because Billy with the blue belt is just going to vote for the jiu-jitsu guy. You don't want that. Rip his head off, and then his vote counts. No, you don't want that.
It's true, man. It's one of these things that faces a sport when it's in its beginnings.
Yeah.
It's still a very young sport.
It's still early, there's no doubt. Yeah.
Kenny, what's the goal? So you got all the Fox stuff.
Yeah.
You're doing all this commentating stuff. Perfect world.
World domination, dude.
Just taking over.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, little fact for you. Kenny's been on Oprah. Am I right?
No, not Oprah.
No, I thought you'd been on Oprah.
It was an opera, is what it was. Spelled it wrong.
I was in an opera.
I was on Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil, that's right.
You were?
Right.
Yeah.
Why
that's
is right. that?
They called me Kenny there. Florini on it. He's like, well, we have Forrest Griffin and Kenny Florini here to talk to these kids. I was like, that's wrong. But anyways, we all just started laughing.
Did you correct him or no?
No. I have to.
Someone calls me Brandon, I have to correct it.
I was going to, but
I'll slap you.
It was in front of, you know, they have like the whole audience there and would have embarrassed them.
See, I'll do it.
Like, dude, you're a pro. Call me the right name.
I don't like Dr. Phil because he was criticizing some dude for watching porn. He was married. That's as big a betrayal to your wife. I was like, listen, bro, I'll beat you up right here. You bald.
Have you ever seen Dr. Phil? Have you ever seen Dr. Phil?
Is he even a doctor? I don't know.
No, he's not.
Yeah,
if I'm to watch porn and my wife comes in, I'm like, come over here, help me out. Or leave the room. I got some business to do.
Dr. Phil will put a heavy hand on your face.
I'll bring it. Bring it. He'll beat me up with that mustache.
You tell me you can beat up Dr. Phil.
Yes, I can.
Wow.
I'll beat him up.
He does have a mean ass heel kick.
You think? Yeah.
So you went on there just to represent the UFC.
So we were there. We were talking to some
Oprah,
kids.
Oprah, Dr. Phil, you know what I'm saying.
Same thing. Yeah, I know.
He's got to start on Oprah.
Yeah. I was on Dr. Keith Ablow as well. I forget what I was on there for. But so I was. We were on Dr. Phil. We were talking to these kids who were. It was pretty nuts. The video was pretty nuts. They were fighting, no gloves, no mouth guards, nothing like
Kimbo Slice
in abandoned,
style.
Yeah,
Kimbo
like in abandoned buildings. And these were like high school kids, and they'd set up. It was like Fight Club. They'd set up these fights, and they just went at it, man. UFC rules, but no gloves, no nothing. I mean,
no training. Where's this going down?
Zero training.
Kentucky or something?
Dude, like abandoned. They had one. It was like an abandoned school. They like broke in and they're like desks everywhere.
Parents are obviously organizing it
on the cement. Adults kids. Kids were doing
all,
it.
All kids are doing
it. Yeah, so we had to tell them, like, hey, probably not a good idea to be slamming someone on their head on the concrete floor.
Wow.
Or, you know, you guys. And then we went in and talked to them after, and I was like, we got to sign them up like for
Jiu-jitsu,
real training. And they're in,
yeah.
they're out of Miami, and I think we hooked them up with. Training in America.
You're like, so we did him a solid. So. We introduced him to Kimbo Slice. So they're training with Kimbo Slice now. Yeah. Way to go, man.
Well, the irony is they need an outlet. And you're right. The more, when you start training with real pros and you start learning technique, you want to get better at that technique, which means you need a mat.
But you also realize you're not any good.
Yeah.
You start going, guys doing all the time. You're like, man, I really need to learn how to
fight. You learn that quickly.
Exactly. Super quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I rolled with Thiago Alves and, I tapped him a couple times, but it was very hard for me. It was actually taking a long time.
That was after you outstruck him.
I leg kicked the shit out of him. He showed me a leg kick that I was holding the bat. He just kind of gently did it to show me how to do it.
Right.
I was doing that Taekwondo bullshit. I just couldn't believe the power on that.
He's a beast.
Kenny, I'm just going to give you a heads up. Now that you've been on the podcast, from now on, Brian's going to refer to you as his friend. Every time. He's
Kenny,
like, my boy Kenny.
More than that.
I don't know if Brian remembers this. We met at the Palms.
Playboy.
Yeah. He came over. He's like, hey, how you doing, man?
You were so great because what I remember about you so well is you stood up really quickly. You were like, and you just shook my hand. I was like, what a good guy. He stood up. I was like, Kenny Florian.
He did big time you.
I kissed his hand.
Yeah, got down on one knee and kissed his hand. Kenny, we thought you were going to pull a Wanderlei Silva on us.
Did he not come? He didn't show up.
No show.
Wow.
For 2 hours.
It was a miscommunication, and he sent a very nice text saying sorry anytime, and he's a good guy. But Brennan was like, yeah, I beat up this whole gym. I don't give a shit.
Remember, I'm still a fighter, man. This is just my side piece.
He's all bunched up. He literally got a little violent. He's like, I'll beat this whole gym. I bet he gives me a stink eye.
We were at his gym. Yeah. That's why. We went to his gym, and...
Nah, he's a good guy.
I still haven't figured out the whole LA thing, how to get around. I still use my GPS and Waze. And
I use Uber.
I don't know where I'm going.
It took me a long time.
Now, when you first moved here, we always talk about girls, whatever.
Yeah.
Did you get a different vibe from the girls here, right? The LA girls?
Oh, man.
Like, is it in the scene?
Yeah, you're invisible.
Without a doubt.
You're invisible.
Yeah, it's so weird. It's a weird thing. I hated it.
The worst.
I hated it.
Girls are into.
I started shipping them in from outside of.
Yeah. That's right, dude.
That's right. Girls in from Boston.
First time I came, I was doing a show at Mad TV. Oh, you're amazing. And I. Sorry, that's our peanut gallery. It's guys, calm down. Guys, calm down.
It's
so funny.
So funny
that you're the best. I can't believe you're so old, but you look so young. Anyway, so sorry, guys. Sorry, that's the gallery.
Sorry,
but
that's our live audience.
But the first time I went, I was invited to a party, and people talked to me, and I was like, oh, it's a Hollywood party, whatever. And there's this dude in there. there's this dude just hanging out with these linen pants, just these linen pants. Look out of a movie. He's on a couch with two girls. He's got his hand. He's got a fedora. He's wearing a fucking hat.
God.
That, you know, yeah, like immediately you're like, ah, and he's got this great chain thing. And I'm like, ah, you know, all right, dude. And he looks at us and he goes,
it was Brendan.
Gentlemen.
It was
Brendan Schaub.
What a wow.
Brendan Schaub. Yeah.
This is last week.
Exactly.
And that's how I met
out of a movie, I remember he goes like this. He goes, gentlemen, this is my home. Welcome.
Oh, my God.
Home. Make yourselves comfortable. I was like, you know, man, should I just run at him and kick him in the face and then run out?
You might need it.
That was my introduction to L.A., and that's L.A.
Our boy, Dove Davidoff, talks about how he was in, went to some house party, and this like Ferrari pulls up. This guy sticks his head out and goes, hey, bro, do you know how to get to blah, blah, blah? And actually, like, gets out of the car, and he has a cape on, yeah, part of his outfit. Yeah. Has a cape on. And Dove goes, the directions. Are you aware you're wearing a cape?
Yeah, he goes, what, you know what time it is? He goes, yeah, it's time to take that cape off.
Literally a cape on part of his outfit.
It's ridiculous.
I love it.
Ridiculous.
It makes me laugh.
LA.
As long as you don't buy into it, it makes me laugh.
Yeah.
LA is amazing.
It is.
It's a place where people tell you 2 + 2 = 16 and they got a whole argument for it.
Yeah.
There's that famous joke, two producers are talking and one producer goes, you're lying to me. And the other one goes, I know, but let me finish. You know, that's literally what LA
right.
is about.
That's,
you know? But you got a good group of friends here.
I do, man. It took me a little while. I think the first year was the most difficult. Just kind of find your groove. And
because you can fall into a weird crowd here.
Yeah, man.
But you came here for work, so you're good.
Yeah. It was real difficult from doing something. I mean, I literally was training 6 days a week without fail. So I was always doing something, you know, being at the gym, being with the guys to working once a week, and I was like, man,
did you go through a depression phase after you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Bad.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You're featured pretty prominently in we have a mutual friend, Sam Sheridan.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and you're featured fairly prominently in A Fighter's Heart. I think or maybe it was A
Fighter's Mind. Fighter's Mind. Yeah, both. Mind. Yeah, we talked to a little bit. Yeah, both of them, yeah.
And he talks about there was I can't remember the section, but you kind of went to Afghanistan and met
Say Afghanistan one more time.
Afghanistan.
Oh, get out.
Sorry,
of
guys.
Here.
It's just that I'm.
That's close to Pakistan, right?
It's next to Pakistan.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And not to be confused with Azerbaijan or Armenia.
I remember when I went there, I had to fly over. We almost flew over Iran.
Did you almost fly over?
Yeah, it was
Iran.
Yeah,
that's so crazy. But you didn't, because Iran has its own airspace.
Right, exactly. And
you could have saw Callum tell him, I say hello.
But you're from.
Tell him I say hello.
Hello. You're from Peru, aren't you?
Peru. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, I like croissant. Sometimes.
Croissant. Yeah. Croissant, c'est mon favorite. Or,
anyways, what were we saying about
taquitos are great.
Taquitos are fantastic. You have an excellent accent.
Amazing. Yeah, just to let you know, my boy's fluent here in Spanish and Portuguese.
Are you?
I speak
both.
I speak pork and cheese. And,
pork and cheese.
How come you could have done the show in Portuguese yesterday? Couldn't you have translated?
No, see, I would have been 10 times worse than.
No way. There's no way. Yeah, that host is bad, bro. That host was so bad.
Honestly, I think my English got worse. I feel so bad, but
I feel bad.
It was like,
as soon as we got out,
she's like, well, I'm not going to be humble because I have two guys who fought in the UFC. With me?
This is exactly how it was.
No. Yeah.
I thought Ashton Kutcher was going to jump out like it was Punk.
Yeah,
I looked at Kenny. I had to look
We
down.
Were literally, yeah, we were looking down. I was laughing so hard inside. It was
then shit. He had to run. I just sent him a text. That host was no bueno. Yeah.
just in different deep water.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not her life. It's not, in all it's fairness, just, it's not her.
She's probably good in Portuguese, right?
Oh, yeah, I
bet she's amazing. But when we did the production meeting, she sits there and she's just nervous. Yeah. Hell.
Tell her to take my workshop. We start with a lot of relaxation exercises. See, one-on-one stuff. I got strong hands.
Ah, yeah.
Let's loosen the shoulders. And what's with all this? Right. Well, let's
take that itchy bra.
It's all itchy.
itchy.
Right. Look at your tits.
Look at you. You're nervous. They're erect.
That's what I say. When I take a girl's bra off, I go, are these your tits? Tits? I say tits 3 times like it's an X.
And they like that.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Check out my dick.
I'm gonna take these.
You gotta take
pants
a long time between dick and.
Yeah.
Because it makes it sound way phenomenal. Bigger. Check out my dick. If you say dick, it sounds small. Oh, we got to wrap this up.
I mean, we've been on air for quite some time.
What time is it?
It's 1:30.
I have a timeshare with Kenny Florian.
Yeah, we have to go.
We're going to.
Kenny, where do you go from here? Explain your day to us. Busy? You got UFC tonight or what?
What do I have?
Because yesterday we got done with that horrible Portuguese co-host, and you're like, you know what? I got to get out here and interview Jimmy Johnson. I was like, damn, Kenny. They speed off his BMW.
Yeah. Jimmy Johnson's a great guy, by the way. We're interviewing him for UFC tonight. Check it out.
He's a fan of UFC?
He's a casual fan. Yeah, he said he's like, I'm a casual fan. He's like, I met Johnny Hendricks before his last fight, but super nice guy. We grilled him with some questions. Donovan McNabb, who does Fox Sports Live, said that race car drivers aren't real athletes. So we asked him about that. And he could have gone off, and he was so nice. He's like,
what'd he say?
Oh, well, I'd love to invite Donovan McNabb on a ride show him exactly what we do. And he's just the nicest guy ever. Yeah. And he had a great response.
Nothing to prove, because those guys are athletes.
Well, when you're doing this guy, he does like triathlons.
Are they?
Yeah.
Yes, real quick.
I think they are.
Formula One racers and those guys.
You know what we should all do? We should all go-kart racing, and then you'll see. Have you ever gone go-kart racing? Dude, it's a real sport.
By the way,
it was my daycare. It was my daycare.
Can you even fit in a go-kart? I don't even know if we can. But
go-kart racing was my daycare when I was a kid, so I have done it. Guess how tired I got from driving? Not tired.
Dude, they drive for 3 hours. First of all, they can't.
Guess what? I drove from 17 hours from Denver to here. Was not tired at all.
Anybody,
and I snapped on Skittles.
If you want to get him going, I'll just say, if I mention anybody who's not a fighter or a football player, that guy's a really good athlete, he'll be like, don't agree. I don't agree, dude. Is he?
I'll meet one of his friends who's like, works at Kinko's now. He'll be like, bro, this guy wrestled in high school. Hell of an athlete. What?
I torture
him. He wrestled in high school.
I torture him. But you're right. Great. If you haven't at least played D1 sports, or at least gone, when you get to,
you don't have to play D1 sports to be a hell of an athlete. I'm just saying, easy with the term.
I agree with you.
It's like at ESPN when they were having me for the production meeting, they're like, oh yeah, so we need you to say here, Junior Dos Santos, best athlete in the UFC. I'm like, not gonna say that. They're like, what? Not gonna say that. Why not? Because he's not the best athlete in the UFC. Yeah. He's not even the best in the heavyweight division. Right. Who is? You're looking at him, Jay Crawford. You're looking at him, my man.
There you go.
And if you think any different, I should probably retire.
My mother was saying, horseback riding gets you in great shape. I was with the best horseback rider in the world, coincidentally. I looked at her and we were on the beach, and he had a shirt off, and he looked every bit as muscular as a mollusk. I don't want to hear that at horseback riding, it uses every muscle in your body.
Hold on. So you say that you just interviewed Jimmy Johnson, so you're a little biased.
No,
right now.
But listen,
he's a real athlete.
It's a different kind of athlete.
As someone who's raced before, I love cars. You love cars, but I've gone to the track and I've raced a car and I've done go-kart racing. You do it for hours. Dude, these guys are doing it for 3 hours to keep your core steady and to deal with the G-forces. And
you're an athlete. You're an athlete.
You have the focus. Like, you're moving a car at 200 miles an hour and you're within millimeters of ending your life. It's a tremendous.
I get that. How is that any different? So you're taking.
Like Formula One guys,
they're beasts. They're
beasts. All right. Get off their nuts for 2 seconds.
Jimmy Johnson also told me, he's like, his heart rate is at 140 to 155 for 3 hours.
That's adrenaline. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's crazy.
So check it out. So how's it any different than me building a robot and I'm controlling this robot? Not tired at all. I'm just controlling the robot. Right. And then I win some award with the robot. And I take all the credit. Because all they're doing is racing a man-made machine.
It's hugely different.
You bring up a good point, because athleticism.
Hold on.
It's hard to define.
Hey, Jimmy Johnson, go run a 40. He's going to run a nice, crisp 5.8 40.
Hold, sir.
I can run backwards faster than Jimmy Johnson.
Hold, please. Hold. You are shifting. You are using your.
You're
using your clutch.
You are shifting.
You're using your clutch. Your feet.
And
you're turning your body. Look at my arms. Look at my delts. Dude, you use your delts. I wish the audience could see what I'm working with.
Yeah. No, he's jacked.
I have a beautiful
right now.
Kenny, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Let's say you're born with. Yeah. No, check it. Let me make an argument. Let's say you're born with zero athletic ability, but you want to be a race car driver.
Yeah.
Guess what? With enough practice, you can be
you
a race car
that.
Driver.
You but don't you know.
No, hold up. Now, let's say you are born with zero athletic ability and you say, I want to play in the NBA.
Yeah.
No matter how many balls you shoot, no matter how much
bad,
you
bad
practice,
analogy.
You will never be
bad
in the
analogy.
NBA.
I don't know.
No, it's not. Because guess what makes Jimmy Johnson? He has the best car. Congrats. You have the fastest car.
See, I don't know about they're wrong. They're all the same.
He might be the smartest driver. He might have the best team.
But
when it comes down to athletic ability, if I give Jimmy Johnson basketball, I put him through the combine, he is going to run about as fast as my boy DJ.
But let's say this. Let's say we all go go-kart racing one day, which would be really fun. But if we did that, again, and let's say one of us win, we all have the exact same car, same motor, all that stuff.
So you're a smarter driver. You know how to drive better.
But it's way more technical. You're one with the car.
It's physical, dude.
You're one with the car.
You can't be like over here. You can't be turning all the way.
So he's the best. You know what he is? He's not an athlete. He's the best at learning how to drive a car. Congrats.
But that's a physical activity when you're doing it at 200 miles an hour. It's physical with those kind of cars.
Okay,
it's
I'm the best catwalker in the world because it's physical.
Let me put it this way. You can't be a Formula One race car driver without being in really good aerobic shape.
Let me ask you this. Who do you think is the best? What athletes do you think are the best athletes?
I would say an outside linebacker, like a 3-4 in the NFL, the hybrid, like outside DNs, or a cornerback. Think about an NFL cornerback. You're covering a guy who probably runs a 4-3 in the 40. Mm-hmm. You have to assume what he's going to do, react to it, and beat him to the ball.
Yeah, but how about sports that require long-term endurance?
Now, here's the thing. So we're used to using our hands. I agree with you. I agree that's one of the best. I think gymnasts are the best athletes, but that's just my thing because of how explosive they are, their strength, and their flexibility, everything. But so we're used to using our hands in football. I mean, that's just what we do. We use our hands all the time. We don't use our feet a whole lot. Now, I'm just – as a soccer player, I'm going to make this argument. For us to use our feet to dribble a ball is way harder than to catch a football or to throw a football.
See, I have a different point of view.
Because it's not natural to do it at full speed. So then you get a guy like Lionel Messi or Cristiano Ronaldo who's doing it at full speed against other dudes.
That's amazing.
Fast.
I agree.
It's crazy.
But guess what?
It's harder to find athleticism.
Kenny, guess what? If I tell LeBron James when he's 2 years old, hey – dribble this basketball with your feet, and he does it till he's 20. He's gonna be better than Messi and Ronaldo.
He could be. I mean, he's physically more gifted.
I have a different
question.
There's a different way to look at it, actually.
Oh, and guess what? Jimmy Johnson. He's using a computer. He's using a car to be better. It's no different than me buying a PlayStation 4 and getting the best in the world at using my hands for another machine.
You're 100% wrong.
I want to slap you.
I'll counter. Now listen. Here's the better question. We're gonna end with this because
you have no argument. Because you have no argument. We're gonna end here.
A little smarter. A little more careful.
I'll tell you what, you and I can race, Brian, and let's see how it goes.
Don't ever put your finger to my face like that again. Now, here's the thing.
In our cars, we're racing.
The better question is, what sport do you think requires the most athletic ability? And one of the reasons I love MMA.
Basketball.
Is one of the things I love about MMA is that I believe you can make the argument that it requires kicking, punching, and wrestling, and jiu-jitsu. And in my opinion, it may not have the best athletes in it because of the money and things like that. Mm. Football and basketball may have the best athletes.
It's also a newer sport.
Right.
It's a newer sport.
Right.
I'm telling you,
in my opinion, that I think that, for example, being a football player, if you are a lineman or if you are even a cornerback or a wide receiver, let's take great athletes, Keyshawn Johnson or whoever it might
be. Keyshawn Johnson. Hey, welcome to 1998.
Exactly.
How about you take Calvin Johnson?
Let's take Calvin
Megatron.
Johnson.
Take Amazing. Megatron.
Yeah. Now, Calvin
you
Johnson
seen that guy?
Is a freak. 6'5", 239, 240.
6'5", 240,
yeah,
runs a 4'3", and a 40, 40 inch vertical.
He's ridiculous. Now,
would completely piss on you, R. Kelly style.
His job, is, and I would let him because that's my type. And here's the thing. I mean, Matt, here's the thing. I didn't know that until we started describing his stats, but here's the thing. He's got to go out and catch a ball. Now that takes a lot of athleticism. It takes a lot of speed. It basically takes a lot of speed and hand-eye coordination.
You got to read the defense.
But hold on. But in my opinion, it feels like something like MMA, when you're having to fight another man, requires all of that and more
reaction.
And so I think certain sports require everything from an athlete.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons that I like MMA. And that's why
MMA's
Fighter and the Kid covers MMA. And I just want to apologize to all those race car enthusiasts for Brennan Schaub's behavior when he's comparing
totally
Formula One racing
to PlayStation 4.
Totally uncalled for.
Talk about illegitimate. Let's have to take a warm hand.
Hey, all the NASCAR fans, let me tell you, if Kenny Florian wanted to be the best NASCAR driver, he could do it right now at his age.
Kenny Florian could do
if
anything.
If he wanted to be in the NFL, he could not.
Kenny Florian could do anything he wanted. Because he's Kenny Florian. He's from Peru, but I think he's from Armenia. Kenny Florian, thank you for bringing your big, handsome head into our
Fighter and the Kid. We've covered just about everything.
And by the way, very happy to have Kenny Florian in the house. I appreciate you, man.
A good
friend. And he's a really good friend of mine.
Fighter and the Kid, booyah.
Hold on. I'll be in Hold on. I'll be in a...
Oh, my God. Hold on. Let me do it for you. Hey, let me do the Brian Calvoice. Hey, hold on. I'm going to be at Crazy Earl's in Milwaukee.
I'm at Helium.
Real quick. I'll be in Hollywood, Florida at Jenny's. Bring your friends. No. Make sure you bring your hors d'oeuvres. I will be there from 3 to 4 o'clock.
I'll be in Helium.
I will be in Denver at
Helium.
Billy's house.
I'll be in Helium in Philadelphia and then the Tempe Improv after that, both in the month of December. Kenny Florian will be in the front row rubber banding his underwear. Helium in Philadelphia. Come see me in 2 weeks.
Great.